The Business on RT Radio 1 with Ulster Bank. For when you're keen to know what Brexit means for your business, visit ulsterbank.ie/Brexit.
Well, it's the job advertisement that sparked outrage in the UK this week. Boris Johnson's chief advisor, Dominic Cummings, wrote a lengthy blog post calling for weirdos and misfits to apply to work with them at 10 Downing Street. The post even included Mr. Cummings' wish to become largely redundant himself within a year of the recruitment drive. But should this be as shocking as it has been, or is it just a more direct way of finding the staff you really want? I'm joined by Eoin Tomás McDermott from the Communications Clinic, and he's here to talk a bit about this phenomenon. I suppose, first of all, the job ad, it was a blog post, which was effectively a job ad, talked about things like, we want to hire some very clever young people, and one of you will be a sort of personal assistant to me for a year. This will involve a mix of very interesting work and lots of uninteresting trivia that makes my life easier, which you won't enjoy. You will not have weekday date nights. You will sacrifice many weekends. Frankly, it will be hard having a boy or girlfriend at all. Eoin, you could say there's a bit of honesty about
this. You have to admire his honesty, if that's one thing, because I think if you were to look, one of the big complaints often applicants have when they are successful is that the job wasn't all it was promised. It wasn't as interesting as they hoped. The hours were far longer and there was a lot of stress. Cummings, within his post, is saying you have to be competent and able to deal with an extreme environment. As we've heard, you shouldn't be prepared to have a boyfriend or girlfriend. Life is going to be pretty difficult. That will be unattractive to lots of people listening, but also it'll be quite attractive to some who'll see it as an opportunity to press the flesh with people in 10 Downing Street, to work on some probably interesting enough projects that have a huge impact for the UK economy. So yes, it might seem for many of us as an unattractive place to work, but for some there is probably a job in it that they'd like, and if they don't like it, he has certainly said it's going to be a tough one and you can't complain.
To some extent, traditionally, we would have had to decode messages in the language that might reflect that this will be a demanding or tough job, but people wouldn't necessarily come out and say it.
Yes.
It's like the old newspaper ad from the 1950s or 60s looking for farm labourers, and it would say, strong man wanted for light work. And here is coming out right. There's not a lot of decoding here.
No, but that again should be a thing that people actually take a learning from this if they're writing job descriptions, is that it should be clear for the applicant what the job is, what's required of them, what educational requirements they should have, and when an applicant is reading it, they should be left in really no doubt what's required from them. So, for example, there is one of the roles is an unusual mathematician he's looking for. Within that, he's pretty clear on the educational requirements. He says you have to have a PhD or an MSc from a top university. He even gives examples of some of the projects that they'll be working on so that applicants have a sense of what they're going for. I think it's interesting as well, rather than listing out a dull list of competencies that we would often see in job descriptions like communication skills or team building, he actually gives a sense of what you're going to be able to do. And this is what he said. He said, you should be able to explain to other mathematicians, physicists and computer scientists your ideas. Discuss what could be useful for our projects, synthesize these ideas for other data scientists and apply them to practical problems. I think you're given a sense of you have to be able to work together, you have to be able to communicate, you have to be able to problem solve. So in regard to that one, he's pretty clear.
He's also saying that he wants diversity, and a lot of organisations will use that word diversity, but he's saying, you know, he doesn't want, it's not that he doesn't want public schoolboys, but he doesn't want sort of waffly spoofer.
Well, he probably has one of them already. What he did say is he didn't want a public school bluffer, and Boris Johnson would be labelled as that. So I think he's already got his quota on that one. He does say he wants diversity, but he's quite specific in the type of diversity that he wants. For example, he doesn't really want to get too bogged down in gender identity diversity, which he describes as drivel, and that people talk about diversity, this is quoting him, they usually babble on about it, blah, 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 blah. So that's not quite the diversity he wants. What he describes as cognitive diversity, which is a technical term of saying people who think in different ways. I would think it's probably going to be a little ironic that given a man wants cognitive diversity, the people who'll apply for these jobs are probably people who think like Dominic Cummings. So there'll be minimal enough cognitive diversity on that team.
I want you to be a weirdo just like me, basically.
Well, I think the way that you want to go through, there is a trend, for example, around a thing called neurodiversity in organisations where they're looking at people who would have, say, for example, be sitting on the autism spectrum, where those people find it very difficult to get through a job interview. And HR departments are now saying, what are the best ways that we can facilitate people, this group of people with this skill set into roles that can be problem solving or maths based, but that they simply couldn't get through a job interview because they don't have the social skills. That's a trend that's occurring in lots of organisations where they see huge value in people with that skill set. I don't think that's necessarily what Cummings is describing here.
To some extent, though, okay, on the one hand, you can say he's being blunt about the need for this is going to be a very tough job, and he spells that out in ways that maybe lots of employers wouldn't normally do. But is there an element in which this is a publicity stunt? He's presenting it as a massive reform of the civil service. And while he's talking about diversity, he says he wants young people. And at the age of 21, you will encounter things that 21-year-olds would normally not get to see in the apparatus of government. I mean, is that even legal in employment?
Well, no, it's not legal. I think, again, in the rule of thumb of putting out a job description or a job ad, you should run it past HR would be the rule of thumb. He mentions in this blog post that HR should be burnt at a bonfire. So I think that gives you a sense of how he feels about HR. Also, as people listening would know, there are 9 things in Irish employment law people cannot be discriminated under. So, for example, age, gender, race, sexual orientation, for example. He would be discriminating against age because he has said he's looking for very young people around the ages of 21. You can get around the age thing by talking about 2 years after university, for example, in it, but you can't really explicitly.
And maybe the reality is that many employers want young people who are age 21. They don't put it in the ad, but that's the way they hire.
That's the way. I think you're right, though, on the other point that it's a publicity stunt. If you've read any of Cummings' blog posts, they tend to be long, they tend to be angry, and they tend to be trying to criticise the British civil service. This has done exactly that. He's used language in there. We have to remember that Dominic Cummings is the mastermind behind the Tory Conservative victory, so he understands media, and he's used language that is going to grab people's attention. I think it presents a pretty horrible place to work, but he's pretty much clear on what that would be.
Just briefly, how have ads changed in recent years, and do you think that this will influence the way that people the way that they advertise in the language that they use?
Yeah, well, I think an ad gives a sense of the character of an organisation, and I think that's worth anybody remembering when they're writing it up. This ad gives a sense of the character of that organisation. It may not be attractive or seductive for many. A lot of what is happening now in, again, job descriptions or job ads are the sense of the culture or the mission of the organisation and the values. Interestingly enough, LinkedIn did a study on job ads and found that actually applicants don't really look at that as much as the job or the hiring company would like to think, that in fact people are more interested in the compensation, the benefits, and then the specifics on the role. You'll notice again Cummings doesn't mention anything about benefits or the compensation, or doesn't talk about flexible working. In fact, it's incredibly inflexible working. So he probably breaks a lot of the trends that are coming through, but in terms of the candour and the directness and the sense of the organisation, he's probably doing it. Many of us mightn't want to work there, though.
Yeah, maybe lots of chief executives will look at those job ads and think, maybe I should follow the same way. Owen McDermott from the Communications Clinic, thank you very much for joining us on the programme. That's all we have time for this week. The show was produced by Aideen McLaughlin. Research was by Rachel Breslin. Sheila Neweal was on sound, and Eveen Meegan was the broadcast coordinator.